Hi, Steve Artimer here, and welcome to the New Life Live podcast. We hope to provide help and hope in your life through God's Word, counselors, and psychologists as we answer questions from listeners who call with the challenges of life. Let's go to today's episode.
Welcome to New Life Live. We're so glad that you're joining us today. I'm in the studio here with Dr. Jackie Mack Harris.
Hello.
How's it going, my friend?
It's going well.
Okay, let me tell you what I've been thinking about.
Okay.
In the recovery movement, a lot of what we're going for here is many things, but one thing especially as an emotional state or a state of being is called peace. That's why the serenity prayer becomes a hallmark of our prayer life and what we're pursuing. There's this verse in Psalm 34 that says, "Turn from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it." And it's interesting there that doing good and peace are synonymous there.
Mm-hmm. And seeking peace.
Yes, seeking
right?
peace.
Look
yeah.
for it.
Yeah.
Search it out.
And then I'm going to bring in another verse from Romans. It's in Romans 12, mm-hmm. and it's 18, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it is, in as so much as it depends on me, seek to live at peace with everyone around you.
Yeah.
And so, and there's also, to bring in this another concept of what we think of righteousness. And what oftentimes we think of righteousness is our personal moral standing. Mm-hmm. But that's not primarily how Scripture addresses it.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, Scripture would say our righteousness is nothing more than filthy rags.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But that righteousness is right relationship between people.
Yeah.
And so oftentimes what is creating so much chaos and confusion and hurt and pain and the cycles of struggles and even sins that we encounter in our life is relational discord, is sort of evil or wrongness perpetuating itself over and over and over again.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. We're not seeking peace. We're seeking behavior change.
Yeah.
We want people to do a certain thing a certain way.
Yeah.
With an expectation that somehow that will bring peace, but it leaves the other person out of the conversation.
Yeah.
And so peace is, let's be curious about what's the problem? Where are you coming from? What's the other perspective? Mm-hmm. And I usually tell people, look at both perspectives. Now we have twice the information.
Yes.
We don't always have to look for the wrong or the right. Mm-hmm. Let's just go with the knowing between the two of us.
Yes.
And then figure out how do we peacefully move forward.
Yeah. And one of the great things is our relationship. Is I remember you and I became much more close in our friendship as we're talking about race relationships in a very, very contentious time.
Yes.
And you were talking about your experience and I was talking about my experience, and sometimes they were different and sometimes they were hard and difficult. But it wasn't the avoidance. It wasn't trying to pacify or deny the differences that we have, but it was trying to seek into the other person's experience and to understand that and to honor that and to hold that. And part of that too is that if we're not reconciled with ourselves, mm-hmm. if we have turmoil and shame, historical pain,
yeah.
unforgiveness, there is not going to be an internal sense of peace. And what we oftentimes then turn to is external sources of peace. And unfortunately, some of those things work really well. Substances work really well. Unhealthy relationships, you know, sex, all the sexual acting out.
Spending,
all of these things are a symptom of our lack of internal peace. Mm-hmm. And here at New Life, especially in our Emotional Freedom Workshop, what we're helping you do is see what's on the inside that is creating the turmoil that is keeping you from peace and offering you a pathway of reconciliation to yourself and to others into experiencing that peace that we're so seeking after is often elusive. But we're going to talk more about that. We'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. Chris Williams, Dr. Jackie Mack Harrison. We're going to go straight to the lines. We're going to go to Rochelle in Atlanta, Georgia. She's listening on Sirius XM. Rochelle, how you doing?
I am well. How are you guys?
Good.
Good.
Well, what's going on?
Okay, so listening to your intro, I think all of what you said sort of hit a lot of nails on the head. But my question is, I have a great aunt who's very opinionative, and she's very, I would say, bitter at times. But what transpired over the past few days is she had said some things pertaining to me, other members of my family, as well as my mother, who long passed away back in 2015. And my question is, she has myself, my daughter, and some other family members in her will.
Uh-huh.
She doesn't have any children. She doesn't have a spouse. So she is leaving this idea of taking care of ones who she really doesn't even have a relationship with.
Yeah.
But she mentions a lot of things, and one of her parameters was, if no one comes to help out, then they're out of the will. And I'm like, well, by that time, she would never know.
Yeah.
But either way, she also made a mention about my belief pertaining to my relationship with Christ. And how I'm religious, and how the God that she knows, and she was raised Catholic, she knows she's just going to get to heaven by doing good and doing things for people. So, that being said, I don't want any parts of anything that she thinks she has to offer, or she thinks that she's going to do for me once she's gone. So, she has already, like, sent her house key to the ones that she wants to handle her estate.
Yeah.
And I'm just ready to write her a letter and send it back and be like, thanks, but no thank you.
Okay.
But I don't, again, in your beginning, in your opening statements about being righteous and relationships, and it's just,
what?
And I prayed about calling you guys. So
yeah.
Well, I'm glad you did. Rochelle, I feel like there was a bit of triggering that happened, and then you got the key. It's almost like she's like, you guys are going to be this type of person, and you need to behave this way and think this way to stay in my will. And you're like, I don't really need your money, lady.
Yes.
So that may be true. Personally, it seems to me that sending it back and writing the letter would be inviting conflict, maybe unnecessarily, if it's not, if you guys aren't already in conflict. Because as you said, when she goes, she won't be here to know what happened and who did what. And if you don't want the money, then you can always decide to distribute it a different way. And you can donate it. You know, New Life is always looking for people to forward their
duly,
you know,
noted. Yes, indeed.
So you have other options. I think, though, it's important for you to sit with what you're feeling and where that's coming from and how you navigate that. Is there some unforgiveness? Is there, maybe there's some, you know, you're not really fond of her and don't want to.
It's layers. It's so many layers, not to cut you off. But so my question would be, when I do have a conversation, because we live states away, and she also is in communication with my young daughter, who's 20. And my, which I know, you know, God is only going to allow so much, but what she's instilling in her head, you know, my daughter is at the point where, you know, she doesn't tell me everything. And then she told me that she feels comfortable talking to her. You know, she's basically an elder in the family, so she has a lot of wisdom.
Well, let me ask a question, Rochelle. Your great aunt, you use the word bitter. Does she have bitterness inside of her?
A lot.
Okay. She has a lot of this. And does it come out towards other people?
Yes.
Okay. So here's the key to that peacefulness. It's not mine. That's not my bitterness. That's her bitterness. She can have it. I don't have to absorb it. I don't have to take it in.
Just because somebody drops a bag of trash in your yard doesn't mean you're going to go out there, pick it up, and take it in your house.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
That's good, Jackie. Yep.
You might pick it up, but you're going to put it in a trash can. You're going to dump that somewhere. You are not taking it home with you.
And you're going to say, that's not mine.
That's not mine.
That's not mine.
As a matter of fact, you're going to step outside and go, what is this? This isn't mine. I didn't do that.
Yeah.
You know? So you don't have to take it on, nor does your daughter, in sharing with her the importance of having her own boundaries. It's such a valuable thing, though, to have that elder in the family.
Yeah. And okay. Oftentimes we can maybe do one of the things I find helpful with people that are carrying around this bitterness is oftentimes it's rooted in what we talk about all the time, trauma, mm-hmm. is these unhealed wounds that these people are carrying throughout their life. And in that way, I don't need to take on, nor should I take on their bitterness or any type of other harmful things that they may have to offer. But I can offer them compassion in their pain.
Mm-hmm.
And in that compassion then allows me to forgive them, but also it creates those boundaries as well. Mm-hmm. And so if taking yourself out of the will is a boundary for you that you want, I think it's fine.
Yeah.
I also think that it's not really about the will. She's using it as leverage of control.
And that's what you're feeling.
And that's what you're feeling. Yeah. And you're like, yeah. That's yucky. I want nothing to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if you're in the will and you receive some sort of compensation, just like it said, hey, now it's your will. Now it's whatever you want to do with it.
Yeah.
You know,
and don't let her. It's not a carrot dangled in front of you. Whether she thinks it is or not, what you do is based on what you think. And so if she thinks that the will is a carrot and that it's going to make you behave in certain ways, then she'll figure out that that's not true. And if that angers her, she'll take you out of the will. And
It seems like she already gave an out on the will that it only goes to people that will help out. So you can just politely decline to help out.
Yep.
You know,
right.
And then you're out of the will. It's really easy. You're out there. But again, Rochelle, I think the most important thing here is that you're protected, again, from the contagion of the bitterness that other people may have to offer.
And I think the worry for your daughter as well, her relationship with her, you might feel like she's grooming her to come out there and be her caregiver.
Yeah.
So just be a safe place for your daughter as well so that she can be open with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is a thing where I can say the only remarks that I had towards her with my daughter was, I'm glad we're states away. We're 800 miles away.
Yeah, it's a great boundary.
And my daughter, she has like a Tuesday call with her. So yesterday she said, Mom, I don't know. I don't feel about calling her. I don't know how to feel about calling her. And I told her, I said, well, you got a good sense of what she has to say. And, you know, because some things happened over the weekend with her and my father.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, you're an adult. It's your call. If you don't feel comfortable, send her a text message or call her another day.
Yeah.
So I have yet to see if she did call or what have you, but she had that in question. And I know because of the stuff that transpired, that was the reason why.
Yeah.
Well, and it's hard for her as a young woman to have these hard conversations with this elder. And she might feel pressured. She might not, she may be uncomfortable thinking she knows what her aunt is going to say. And some of that might be disparaging things about her grandfather. So she may be uncomfortable having the conversation. And that's okay. I think she needs to have permission to be uncomfortable and be in a hard conversation. And again, it's not her stuff. So if her aunt is sharing things and saying things, she doesn't have to agree with it.
Yeah.
She can just hear what she's saying. And I usually put my arms out in front of me and like hold my arms out like a basket. Like if we were, you know, shooting a hoop in there. And I just say, you're holding a container for her. And so if your daughter decides she does want to have the conversation with her, I think it's also important for her to understand she gets to set boundaries as well.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, Rochelle, yes. We're going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back, because I think that will be some really helpful guides in that. Mm-hmm. And again, how to take our life back from the toxins of other people or some things in our own life. But you're showing a lot of wisdom here, and we're so glad that you called in today. So glad that you are guiding yourself, your daughter, in this tricky situation. We don't get very many calls of people being asked to be left out of wills.
Right. Like, how do I get out of this will? Yeah.
You know, I really honor you for that, because you're not blinded by this gift.
Well, you're moving in your own integrity. Exactly. And not wanting to let someone control you by threats with their money.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. We're going to go back to the calls. We're going to go to M in Vancouver, British Columbia, also listening on Sirius XM. M, are you there?
Oh, I am.
Oh, I love your name. My wife's name is Ember with an E, and so I oftentimes refer to her as M. So, yes. So, M, what's going on today?
Oh, okay. Thank you that your program is available. To everyone who has SiriusXM, anyways.
Yes.
I have my husband and I were grandparents of our 8-year-old grandson. Mm-hmm. And we do the daycare, the providing, you know, taking him to school, babysitting him after school, taking him to every kind of soccer, football, swimming, ortho, mm-hmm. you name it. And our daughter is a single parent, and we just need some advice on how to set the boundary of obnoxious and rude, you know, behavior from her, where she just seems to dictate what we do, when we do it, and to cover any bills and stuff without any, you know, appreciation or gratitude, mm-hmm. or even a thought that maybe she should take a step back and validate who we are as grandparents.
Yeah.
Not the parents of the child who, you know, but he's wonderful. And how to deal with the obnoxious outbursts that can be very abusive, but they're done, you know, within the grandson's earshot. So we just shut down.
We just think, oh my goodness.
When she was growing up, when she was a teenager, did you have this problem with her?
A little bit, yeah. That we kind of thought that maybe we were allowing her to, you know, have her voice, you know. And there was more ties of respect with that, like consequences, I guess. Mm-hmm. But it seems to have gotten quite out of control, where we're just like, this has to stop.
Yeah.
But the fear, which I'll just say, the fear or the thing that shuts us down, usually is that she will end up being obnoxious and rude at her own place with the grandson, where he suffers the consequences of it.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. So, Em, you bring up a really, really tough situation, complicated, but not uncommon. And that is, yes, so she can treat other people poorly, and she could leverage this with somebody else being a child. And I just kind of want to make sure that that's clear, that we start to understand that I'm going to leverage a child and their well-being as a form of my bad behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you hear that again, to see that, as we get clear on what this actually is, this is absolutely not okay. It sort of hits us in the face. And so we're going to come back and we're going to confront this in the face and give you some guidance on where to go from here, especially with your daughter, because it also sounds like she may need some help. And she may be struggling with some things inside of her that she could really use some help with as well. So we'll be back right after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. And again, Chris Williams, Dr. Jackie Mack Harris, and we're talking with M in Vancouver, Canada. And we love our Canucks up north. And yes, and everyone who's listening to us on Sirius XM. It's one of the many ways that you can connect with us. And you just have this beautiful 8-year-old grandson that you're doing so much for and helping out. But you're in a relational conflict and struggle with how your daughter is treating you guys.
Yeah.
Okay, here's my first recommendation. Remove your 8-year-old son from the conversation.
Okay.
This is about your relationship with your daughter, not your relationship. Your relationship with your grandson's fantastic.
It is, actually. It's amazing.
Right? So this is about your relationship with your daughter and how your heart and your desire is to have a really healthy, good, working, you know, relationship with her.
Yes, actually, but, yes.
But there are some things that are hurtful. And I want you to be able to address those two things, both your desire and what's hurting you.
Do you think you could have a conversation with her about what you desire in a relationship with her and the ways in which the relationship is causing you pain?
Maybe not. Anytime I've ventured down that road saying you've come a long way and we're here to support you, it's almost like there's this resentment and blame that I'd be farther off if you had only done whatever 20 years ago. I don't know. It's
How old is your daughter?
It's met with hostility. She's 40.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Has there ever been any mental health diagnosis? Did she struggle with mental health challenges growing up?
I'm going to say no to mental health, but I will say yes to alcohol and drugs.
Oh, okay.
And then that has been dealt with, and she's come out the other end. But there's, for the past few years. But there's just, I don't know, like a blame. Like,
yes.
It's easier to not look at what she does in her moments. Mm-hmm. And take responsibility, and easier to just blame and run away, like,
yes,
until the next day.
So her mental health challenges are related to substance abuse and misuse.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
often there is something going on that people are trying to self-medicate.
Mm-hmm.
And so she probably does have something undiagnosed.
Well, and, I know I tend to be the hammer and the nail here with this particular subject, but I just see it clearly in this case. And that is that one of the ways in which blame operates as a function in a person's life is to offset or offload shame. And so if she is carrying shame inside of herself, which is oftentimes a bus driver for addiction, is that, she can be sober, but if she hasn't done some more internal work to, again, kind of how I opened up the show, is to seek peace inside of herself in the midst of all of this, and there's a great disruption, when she hears anything negative, she doesn't hear the thing that's negative. She hears that she is a bad person.
And the thing that's negative could just be simply disagreeing with her or saying no to a request of hers.
Yeah.
So it doesn't mean that you're coming down on her or being disrespectful to her or calling her out for her stuff or any number of things that you could probably do. It just means that it's something she didn't like. And so she's going to take that as negative.
Yeah. And there's kind of like this.
That's exactly it.
Yeah, there's like there's a pilot light of shame inside of her that's always on. And so when you give a person any sort of like feedback of correction or something that could be perceived as negative, it pours fuel on that pilot light that lights them up, you know. And then what she's doing is saying, well, no, not me. What about you?
Right. Yeah. You made me feel this way.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And what it is, is you came to share a concern with her that was probably a negative emotion, right? Like, I'm feeling really hurt by the way that you're talking to me. And you come to share that with her and your sorrow around it and the way the relationship is. And now that is the fuel that hits that pilot light. And now, whoosh, she's gone up in flames. And you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And she's like, why are you talking to me like this? Because now she feels like you made her feel that.
Yeah.
Because she isn't aware of what's happening inside of her.
Yeah.
And because she's not aware of what's happening inside of her, she's basing it on what happens externally. Mm-hmm. So that's what you do, what her dad does, what the kid does, what people on the job do. It's everything outside of her determines what she feels like inside. And unfortunately, that's the definition of disease.
Yeah. So Em, here's what I want you to do. I want you to find a family counselor in your area, family therapist who can work with the three of you to build a healthier relationship with. We're also going to send you two books. We're going to send you Understanding and Loving a Person with Substance Abuse, and we're going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back. And that will help, again, understand what's going on inside of her and you and be able to work through that these really difficult things where you can set boundaries, have honest communication, but also not take on her shame either. So, you know, we want what's best for her, want what's best for you guys. And Em, thank you so much for calling in today, and we'll be back right after this.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Club New Life supporters who give a monthly donation because they want to continue to offer help and hope in these very, very difficult places. To find out more about Club New Life, you can go to our website, newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, if you're new to us, we drop an episode every weekday. We would love it if you would rate or write a review, which helps more people discover help and hope, and helps us share wisdom with as many people as possible. Now let's listen to our counselors as they help people walk through life's hardest places.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
I'm Steve Arterburn with the New Life Moment. Are you a second-hander? Author and philosopher Ayn Rand coined this term for people who live for the compliments of others. We all know second-handers, don't we? People in love with their own beauty, intelligence, or accomplishments. People who subtly, or maybe not so subtly, flaunt them before us. One Christian author says second-handers are people unable to live upon and get joy from achieving what they value for its own sake. These are people who have one eye on their actions and the other eye on their audience. No one admires a second-hander, yet many of us struggle to resist becoming the very thing we find so unattractive in others. If you're trying to compensate for deficiencies in your life by trying to get compliments, well, I'd like to help you. I'm Steve Arterburn, and for some guidance on trading your second-hand living for an authentic life, visit newlife.com. And thanks for listening to this New Life Moment.
It is so good to hear from Steve as he is still on his sabbatical and doing very, very well and has about a month to go. And we look forward to having him back and look forward to all of the fruitfulness of a sabbatical. So thank you for that, Steve. And we're going to go right back to the phone. We're going to go to Heather in Savannah, Tennessee. Heather, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. And you're listening on WDNX, is that right?
D as in dog, NX, yes.
Yes, excellent. Well, how can we help you today?
Well, I have a...
Hey, Heather, if you can hear me, your connection, can you get in a better place? Your connection is breaking up for us right now. Oh, we lost Heather. Ah. Bummer. So, Heather, if you got this, give us a call back. We'd love to take your call. We're going to go to Sheila in Fort Worth, Texas. Sheila, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, Sheila. What's going on today?
Hi. I'm calling in response to a caller you had the other day named Debbie. Okay. She was calling about her daughter, adult daughter, who she had a childbirth and then opioid addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're struggling with mental health.
Yeah.
And I, as she told her story, I felt like I had checked all the boxes of what she's going through, mm-hmm. and we've been through it.
Yeah.
And we felt very alone. And so I just wanted to tell her that we put my daughter in a crisis center.
Yeah.
Because she was seeing things, hearing things.
Yeah.
And they put her on Suboxone.
Uh-huh.
And so I don't recommend that. It's another addiction.
Yeah.
But we ended up calling Dr. Field.
Mm-hmm.
And he recommended a crisis center for addiction / behavioral health.
Yeah.
And one that does not prescribe Suboxone.
Uh-huh.
So we ended up putting her in one, and she was put on medication. And it's she's doing fine now.
Oh, good. That's great.
Yes. She's doing really well. The medication is extremely important.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted Debbie to know that I went through everything she was going through. And that when she, if she does find a crisis center for her daughter, that I recommend her daughter putting her on the medical release.
Uh-huh.
So that she can communicate with the facility.
Yeah.
And the doctor.
Yeah, that's good.
And that's an important aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for sharing that piece, Sheila.
You're welcome. I learned a lot with the first crisis center we went through.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't talk to anyone and tell them what we were going through. And even though she wanted help, I suspect that she was lying to the doctors.
Yeah.
And we weren't getting anywhere.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to share that and tell Debbie that I'm praying for her, that my heart goes out to her.
Yeah.
And that there is help available.
That's excellent. Well, thank you so much for that, Sheila. And we're going to send you a copy of the Life Recovery Bible. And we just think that that is not only just for those who may struggle with an addictive pattern or process in their life, but those who are connected as well. Is that life? We all have life recovery in one way or another. And so we're going to send you a copy of that. And I think Sheila brings up something really important here. And that is that when we take calls, oftentimes it's not just, and most of the time, it's not just about the caller.
Mm-hmm.
It's about when we're struggling with really deep, painful things in our life, oftentimes we can fall into the trick that we are alone in this. We're the only ones.
Yes.
This can only be happening to me. And when we hear somebody else's story, it's really, really powerful.
Yeah, we think that it's just us. We think that no one else could be going through something like this, or that we're so awful that mm-hmm. this could only be happening to us. Oftentimes we're thinking something's punitive, God's punishing me for something. And so when people call in, they hear, other people can hear that call and that answer. And so it was just so sweet for her to call back. I can hear her heart mm-hmm. for Debbie. And
yeah.
she's been carrying this story with her and praying for this family. It's the connectiveness for me. You know, I love the relationships that this show can bring about. Even though they may never meet each other,
mm-hmm.
there was a kinship in their experience.
And I've had the privilege of, as you know, Jackie, being a part of the treatment world
mm-hmm.
and being really well connected with many, many different treatment options out there. And the truth of the matter is, and sometimes tragically, is they're not all created equally.
Yeah.
And there are programs out there doing really, really good work. And there's programs out there that probably shouldn't be doing any work at all, if I'm going to be really brutally honest. And so it is important to vet that. It's important to know who you're working with and not working with. And here at New Life, we actually have a strong vetting process and program in which we partner with drug and alcohol treatment and behavioral health treatment programs throughout the country that are part of our network, again, that we make sure that in as much as we can tell, they're doing really good work, that they are prescribing accurate medication, or they have really good protocols, and they have really good treatment protocols and counseling and group therapy and all the great things that are most helpful to this process. And I also want to say that to what we were talking about is that when our experience is shared in the context of others, what I oftentimes refer to as a benevolent witness. Mm. I need a benevolent witness to my story. And sometimes we have not only the benevolent witness, but they are a benevolent sharer in the story. Something I'm going through is something they go through. These group experiences, these relational experiences, cannot be overstated in how powerful they are. You know, the every man's battle is that obviously the information that you're getting in the main sessions is crucially important, but the powerful transformation is happening in the group work.
Same with intimacy and marriage.
Exactly, right?
And then we're going to be doing emotional freedom and that, intensive coming up here real soon.
That leads me to this thing of the emotional freedom online intensive. And that oftentimes people's hesitancy is that no one will understand me. No one gets what I'm going through, and no one can understand the nuances. And I always say this, the details may be different, but the process is not. Mm-hmm. You know, we're all in these processes together. Yep. And that when we get to share it with another person, and when another person says a profound and compassionate and knowing me too, yeah, there is this release of the fear and the release of the shame, and then we can start getting to the real work of healing and growth.
Absolutely. The relationship in that group aspect is so helpful for healing.
Yeah.
We have life recovery groups. So for people who maybe they don't feel like they need to come to one of the intensives, but they do need that connection, that ongoing group connection, you can call and we can connect you with the life recovery group in your neighborhood. Because the group process, that dynamic is incredible.
Yeah. And you can find all of this on our website, www.newlife.com. If you want to talk to someone, if you want to get more information, you can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. In addition, if you're struggling, if you need connected to a counselor or a coach in your area to work through a specific issue, again, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have so many resources. We are here to help do exactly what we say we do, and that is provide hope and healing in life's hardest places. And again, I also want to mention up, we mentioned Every Man's Battle. The next one coming up in April is going to be online. Every Man's Battle online, April 13th. And so if traveling ever became a barrier for you, getting on a plane and going somewhere else, let that not be a barrier anymore. You know, this one-day intensive, which we offer a couple times a year for Every Man's Battle, again, is going to be April 13th. Again, go to newlife.com, and you can find all the information there. Stay with us. We got one more segment coming up, and we're going to be going to Heather back on Savannah when we get back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. Chris Williams with Dr. Jackie Mack Harris, and we were able to get Heather back on the phone in Savannah, Tennessee, listening on WDNX. Heather, are you there?
Yes.
All right. Well, tell us what's going on.
I am the identified patient in a sick family system, mm-hmm. all of whom have died, and my blind sister and I are the lone nuclear family survivors.
Yes.
My trauma began in childhood, and I've spoken about it on the show before. Hmm. Right now, I've made the decision to set boundaries with the toxic people in the family.
Good.
as well as toxic relationships. And I've been doing a lot of repair work with a personal therapist here in town.
Good.
New life. I'm going to emotional freedom.
Excellent.
Yes. Good.
I'm a supporter of the New Life Club.
We love
to. I am just calling about a little direction on focus, what I need to focus on.
Okay.
Don't have healthy relationships at all, and not good at setting boundaries, but I'm beginning to do that work.
Yeah. So what's the question for us, Heather?
How do I maintain Christian relationship with my family when I can't be around them for long?
Sounds like that's how you maintain the relationship, by not being around them for long. You get to set that boundary. There's some people who, when you're around them, you just gain energy. They bring so much light and love and joy and peace into a space that when you're around them, you just feel good and you leave feeling better than you came. And sometimes we're around people who do the complete opposite. They just suck all the energy out of you. They take everything you have. They emotionally, they're draining. They are unhappy and misery loves company. So they're trying to bring you into their misery. And you have the right to say, no, thank you. Mm-hmm. I think you need to know what's going on inside of you. So my four questions: what do I feel? Where do I feel it? Why do I feel this way, and what do I need? I would just get into the habit of checking in with yourself every day and asking those questions. And as you practice that, it just becomes easier, and you kind of go around life having a knowing of what you're feeling and where that lives in your body and what's going on in your life that caused that feeling, and then what you need to do about it. And so when you're with your family and your body starts to have a reaction, that if you were just going off of like your childhood experience with these people, you would react a different way because your nervous system would be triggered and you'd have a triggered response. But because you're becoming more aware of who you are and where you are in space and what's going on in your body, you'll know when it's time for you to go, and you'll go. You'll say, you know, this has been great. See you later. Just plan to not stay too long. I have family in South Bend, Indiana. I love and adore them. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be in South Bend, Indiana for a max of 72 hours. Mm-hmm. That's all I have. I got 3 days, and then I need to get back to California. So I know my limits, and I set that boundary for myself, and it's not a discussion with anyone else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, I gave up the family because they're unwilling to do the work.
Yeah.
And their unwillingness to work impacts me negatively, so I'm just going to do my work as I break away from them.
Mm-hmm. Well, Heather, it sounds like you've done tremendous work. You've already, you know, you're using the language. You're like, hey, I've realized that I was the identified patient, that everyone kind of put their problem on me or my behavior, mm-hmm. and that I'm working through these traumas, and I'm putting boundaries around toxicity. And so, but one of the places that can leave us is feeling pretty lonely. And,
right.
You know, if I cut everyone out, then it's just me. And we know that God has not intended for us to be alone. And so
right. There
a few years ago, Doctors Henry Cloud and John Townsend wrote this book called Safe People. And I find this book incredibly helpful because it helps us identify what is a safe person, what is not a safe person. And what's interesting about the book, too, is it helps us see, am I a safe person or am I an unsafe person? And there is when it's done in a healthy way, there's a magnet inside of us that gravitates towards comfort or familiarity. When we're in really unhealthy relationships or damaging relationships, they become too familiar. And so our magnet draws us to other unhealthy, damaging people. When we get safe and secure, that magnet, that comfort magnet, then draws us to safe and secure people. And so, and it works both ways. You know, really safe, secure people are usually not that attractive to unsafe, you know, harmful people. And so
yeah. When
we you're doing that work, and I want you to be able to trust that. And are you doing any group work right now?
I have been on the support group, but I have very poor. I got cut up about 5 times making this call. I live in the middle of a mountain, and there's no network, but I'm preparing to move from here.
Okay.
But I'm in a group, but I can't access it because of my lack of access to the internet.
Yeah.
And also, I'm seeing a therapist in my town locally.
Okay.
She's not a trauma therapist, but that's my issue. But I just felt like seeing her would be helpful, whatever her scope is.
Yeah.
And I'm coming to emotional freedom.
Excellent. And make sure, Heather, that when you're doing the emotional freedom workshop, that you are connected to a good Wi-Fi connection. Because, again, because it's online, if you can get somewhere and you know, even if it's a coffee shop or something like that in a corner where you can have some privacy or whatever, or friend's house, whatever the case may be, you want to make sure that you have a good Wi-Fi connection there. And so, and Heather,
yeah, I'm planning to go to the library because I can't be sure I won't get cut off.
Oh, that's very
great
smart.
Idea.
Very smart. Well, Heather,
study room.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, Heather, you're smart. You're aware. You're doing the work. We're super proud of you. We are going to send you a copy of Safe People. We really, really look forward. We really look forward to seeing you at the Emotional Freedom Workshop. We're going to continue to help you, support you. We're going to cheer you on. And
thank you.
And our prayer is that in your group work, you're going to find other sojourners with you in this healing process that you may end up having lifelong friendships with.
Oh, good.
Yes, yes. So, Heather, thank you so much for calling in today. And again, we just cheer you on. Thank you all.
Thank you for your ministry. Thank you so much.
No problem at all.
Thank you.
No problem at all. So we are so glad to be here and to do this. And I want to just send out to everyone listening out there, if you want to call us, please do. 1-800-229-3000. When we're on air, we'd love to hear what you have to share. We'd love to hear what's on your heart. We'd love to hear what you're struggling with. And know that when you call in, it's not just you that's getting help. It's everyone else that is listening that is getting help. And the other thing that I want to mention is that we have Life Recovery Today. It's on the NRB network, NRB TV, but it's also on liferecoverytoday.net if you want to catch up and see what's on there. On today's episode, we examine how addiction impacts those around the addict. And so there is so much here, and we talked a little bit about addiction today and want to know that, man, those connected are also impacted. You can find that on Life Recovery Today. Thank you so much for being with us today, and we hope for you a day of deep, restful peace with God. Take care.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope something you heard will help you live in freedom today. If this content was helpful for you, we would love it if you take a minute, leave us a review, post about it, and rate it. Remember, we have resources and workshops online for you as you continue your journey. Go to newlife.com and find out more information. And thank you for being part of the New Life community. We know that God desires all of us to live a life of wholeness and healing, and we're so glad that you're here.